Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Gateway, brought to you by the Northern Illinois University College of Business, where your future is without boundaries and our approach is too. I am joined, as always, with my incredible co-host, Dr. Biagio Pellese. Hello, Biagio.
Ciao a tutti. Welcome to another great episode.
For this episode, The Gateway is excited to speak with Dr. Jalal Sarabadani. Dr. Sarabadani is an assistant professor of information systems at San Jose State University. He is an active researcher focusing on the dark side of IT. His main area of research includes techno-stress, its influence on individuals and the way they cope with the phenomenon in different contexts. As a passionate teacher, he is also deeply committed to pushing the boundaries of his knowledge and encouraging his students to do the same. Dr. Sarabadani is also the CEO and co-founder of Writing Checks, spelled C-H-E-X, a startup that aims to empower students overcoming challenges with writing skills using an AI-powered writing tutor to better prepare them for the writing component of English proficiency exams such as the ITSEL or TOEFL. Outside of academia, Jalal is an avid explorer seeking out new experiences through hiking and networking. He is always looking to learn, expanding his skills, and staying out of his comfort zone. Jalal, welcome to The Gateway. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, hi, everyone. Thank you very much for having me. It's an honor to be here and talk to you and the audience.
We are absolutely excited to have you. I know when we were reading through your bio and we were looking at your history, I think it fits exactly what we're trying to do. And so I'm very excited. And I know Biagio and I know Amin are also excited to talk with you. So before we go into all of those details, I always like to start these episodes with the beginning. So how did you get to where you are? What was your path? What does that look like?
Great question, but a complicated question at the same time. but let me, I remember we had a little bit of conversation about my name, my last name. So let me say first, my name is Jalal. You can call me Jay. And my last name is Sarabadani. So I'm currently an assistant professor of information systems at San Jose State University in the College of Business, School of Information Systems and Technology. The way I got here at this position is so interesting. So I got my bachelor degree in information technology and engineering path. And then it's so interesting that when I was a second year student, I wanted to drop out. I didn't have a good record in during my undergraduate degree. And honestly, I finished my undergrad in about 6 years and a half. So I'm not that kind of a smart, I wasn't at that time. So I was so into doing something practical, pursuing my passion. I did IT, even though I liked it, I didn't like the quality of the education I was receiving. It was so frustrating for me. And then at some point I turned to my parents and say, I don't want to continue education at this university anymore. I remember it was my fourth semester. I didn't take any of my final exams. And by the time I had been actually studying English language, which I was so passionate about. And my parents saw that enthusiasm and they offered something interesting to me. And they said, what if you take a semester off from university and just go study English? I was like on top of the moon. And I said, without any hesitation, that was what I did. So I was so determined to take up this language. And I'm happy to say that this is one of my key milestones of my life that I got here. I was able to take up the language from something like making simple sentences like present simple to become an English teacher within
Wow.
7 months.
Wow.
I studied days and nights. I even had dreams in English language. I remember specifically one night my father was in the middle of the night kicking on my back, and he said, "Either you're going to sleep quietly or I'm going to kick you out of the house." So that was a time when an undergrad degree was I was making progress slowly. And I was like, this is the traditional mindset. You need to have the degree. It's not about my country, it's about everywhere. But at the same time, I was heavily focused on teaching the language. I was enjoying all the process, interacting with the students, getting the background of different people, interacting with them, getting to know them. And some part of the process, I said, no, I need to kind of find the better way to kind of realize my dreams, because I had the teaching side. I was also majored in IT, and I had Microsoft certificates in networking, MCSE, and I had the opportunity to work with one of my students who was the CEO of a technology sales company. And at some point, he came to me and said, "Hey, why don't you come and take over the business development for me? I need you to go to other countries, sign partnership contracts with those countries." So I was able to go to one of the biggest clients I interacted with was Xiaomi, which is now the Apple of China. I had great moments interacting with them. And that was a turning point for me. When I was working with them, I got curious that people are using the same technology, but they are reacting to the same technology in different ways. And I was like, why is that happening? I got curious about that. And I asked different people about how can we explain these things? And that was the first moment I got to know information systems major. If you want to know about this, you need to study information systems. You can't answer these questions with computer science or software engineering. I was studying IT, and then that was the time I said, "All right, so I'd like to just satisfy my curiosity. I like to keep the teaching. I'd like to experience living in other countries. What can I do?" Well, you need to do a PhD. So that was the turning point for me. If I hadn't invested my time in English language, none of these would have happened. So I finished my undergrad degree, and then I stopped teaching for a while, studied hard for master's degree to get my master's in management. I needed to take the university exam, but in management. So a shift from engineering to management. I got the opportunity to study in one of the best schools in Iran, University of Tehran. And then I was so focused at that time. We were about 54 cohorts of students. From the very first moment, everybody asked, "What are you going to do? What's your plan?" And I said, "I want to continue my education, pursue a PhD in the United States, and become a professor there." See how just focused I was. And at that time, my professor, my advisor was a faculty in Australia. He offered me a position, but he said, "If I want to do that, you need to stop searching for the PhD position in the US." It was exciting, but I said, "I'm sorry, I'm just going for the US." So I applied to 10 schools. This might be interesting to Biagio. I applied to 10 schools. I got two offers, one from Washington State, one from Louisiana State.
No, we could have been together.
Yeah.
And you never told me that. That's crazy. Wow. Okay. All right.
The only reason I rejected that offer was I can't stand humid weather.
Oh, well, then you did the right
So I got there, and then I'm here.
That is amazing. I love the winding path, but it really comes down to language, which is still kind of where you're aiming right now. And for me, I love the actual verbal language and communicating written speaking, but then also the flexibility of that, at least that term of languages within coding and technology, all of those things really transfer. And I think they lead really well into what you're doing now, Jalal, with your startup, which is writing checks, correct? Did I get that right?
Yes, that is correct. So
can you give us just a little bit about what that is and how that's all wrapping into everything you're doing? And then we could get into kind of the detailed questions, I think.
Maybe tell our listeners first how checks is spelled before, because it sounds like we're writing bank checking account check.
Yeah.
Thanks, Amin.
So yeah, that's.
I think that's, it's a clever spelling. So sound only media. So we need to tell our listeners.
Yes, that's a perfect question. So writing is spelled as writing, WRITING, but checks is pronounced as CHEX. And the idea behind this, let me clarify something, maybe say something foundational, how this belief is driving our development. I teach systems analysis and design. Part of my course requires me to teach project management. And I always talk to my students, say, in general, there are two ways of managing projects. One is with the waterfall methodology, that you have this perfectionism to make sure every step is completed and then you go to the next step. Whereas the agile is more about producing a working product. So when we started, we had the idea of how can we provide a better feedback for students writing. And that was the time where, well, we check things students need, and then that became writing checks started. But to describe writing checks simply, currently we view it as an AI-powered writing training service that helps the students to pass English proficiency exams such as the IELTS or TOEFL in order to pursue their education abroad. Very clear, concise, short.
Yes. So that's, I think, a really interesting element to use AI to help teach writing when so many people are concerned about AI, I think, taking away writing or doing all of the writing. How are you kind of squaring that circle, or how are you combating that, at least mentality, even if it may be incorrect?
So let me talk first a little bit about the why we are doing this. That might help how this technology would be interesting. When I was an English instructor, I taught English for over 6 years before moving to the US. And what I noticed was, even I took the IELTS exam, I noticed that it's really hard for students to find English teachers who are really good at writing. If they do, they are super expensive. And that's one of them. The other one is there is very limited tailored training programs, writing training programs for these individuals. Usually it's like university curriculums that you have a set of weeks fixed. And if you are good at writing, well, even if you are intermediate, you need to just start with others and then follow the path like what we have in universities. The other one I would say is the quality of the feedback. We have done a lot of analysis in terms of what are the others are doing. We see that it's more like you write a research paper and give it to another colleague, and then on the notes, they are just using a comment feature in Word document and giving you, this is not correct, this is not interesting, let's choose that one. But there's little explanation on why these things are happening and how you can improve actually this one. So this process also takes a long time. If I give my writing to a writing expert, if I find a good one, it's going to take me maybe at least 3-4 days in order to get my writing back. So it collectively, they're holding me back for progress. Well, what I was thinking, is there a way that we can kind of make a little bit of change in the process and help students get their results better? That's my experience. I confronted this problem with talking to so many of my students and other people who are preparing for the test. We also look at the data from these test providers, and we notice that writing has the least average compared to speaking, listening, and reading, which collectively go together. There is a problem there. What can we do with this? And part of this one is we identified the problem. What we are doing is now we want to evaluate students' writings and then provide a solution to help them improve based on their needs. That's what we hope to do. So at this point, our solution is using technologies like generative AI. But we are trying to kind of see how we can engage students in this process. One of the leading causes of, I think, low writing is that it's all about student engagement. They go to the class, they are given very rough materials, dry materials, then into writing, and it becomes boring to them. It's exactly like we have in our classes. We always say we need to kind of change the way we teach materials to students so they get excited, come to the class, contribute to the class, participate, and then they learn. It's kind of pretty much the same mindset, but with the use of technology.
I have a quick question. Like, this is super interesting for me because I come from Italy, right? So I'm not a native speaker. And Italian, I have a way of communicating, both in speaking, but mainly in writing, that is completely opposite to English, right? So it's, for me, it was kind of resetting my brain and say, hey, all that I've been doing before I was writing in English is completely wrong. Long sentences, like super long sentences, like here you have to have super short sentences, straight to the point, right? So completely the opposite of Italian. So when you guys, saw these things, look at those data, what was your target, like potential user in mind? Was it like people that are non-native speakers only, or was like anybody? And the other question I have, it might be more on the research side of things. You find a problem. So did you guys approach this company as a like design science research problem, or do you guys like went just full company? You didn't do any research paper out of this, because that would be something that potentially is as an outlet, in my opinion.
Yes, that's a good question. So the first question, as you're talking about, I think refers to the persona, right? Who are your customers? Who are you exactly targeting? Like many startups, we have started broad. There are a different number of people who need to take these exams, like students, even those who like to immigrate for work. You need to take these exams to prove that you have the English proficiency. But over time, we realized that we need to remain focused in order to do a good job of product development. And we realized that out of these median number of people who annually take these exams, over 80-90% of them are students. So that's the time we decided, okay, now we are going to stay just focused, target students. Our customers right now are students, so focused students who need these exams in order to continue their education abroad. That's question number one. The design science approach, it's so interesting. Last night I had a meeting with one of my potentially co-founders. We were talking, so he's in the product design, product experience, and we were talking about the different ways that we can play with all these gamification stuff to engage students into our platforms, and then we can run all of these experiments to see how differences into design can help students improve their performance. We can measure them before the training, the type of training we deliver, and then measure them after that, and then just measure it. Yes, we have these in our minds, but the thing is, our resources are limited at this point. We all are full-time employees in other and have other commitments, But more than that, it's right now fun for us, but we are also at the same time determined to continue this business. Right now, we are about a team of eight experts in different fields. We have two software developers who are developing the websites. I'm the domain expert and the CEO of the company. I have my long, I would say 10-year plus friend with me as the strategy development and data-driven marketing with me, working together about how we are going to develop the product. He also has teaching experiences of the language. He has a bachelor degree in English language. So we are that, and we have a dedicated team of UX and UI designers. So it's, I would say this business, writing checks, is going to be a little bit of, it's going to be life-changing in this industry for too many reasons that I see in the future. One is we are going to find ways to engage students with writing, with this dry task. Two is we're going to provide a personalized training path. And we are doing all of these services through quick delivery, affordable, cheap, and accessible to anyone.
I mean, that is pretty cool. I truly believe that you already have in hand something that can be considered like an artifact that you can already like abstract some meta requirements and design principle. But let's take it for an offline conversation because like there is so much to talk about the company. So we'll talk more about it.
Oh, of course. I've seen that you've published papers on design science. I have not.
Yes.
I'm not the expert in the design science, but I see how interesting this area is, that how you can use different principles. Yeah.
I did the same thing with, actually, I did the opposite. I started with the research project and then it became a company. So that's why like I can see the overlap. We'll talk more about it.
Oh, cool. Cool. That's nice.
I was curious. You mentioned so you're talking about teaching writing and helping students be better writers, but that's just one part of the English proficiency tests. So I'm curious if I completely agree with you. As someone who has similar background and went through this myself, I was fortunate that my parents signed me up for English classes at early age. I mean, this is how you can tell the potential impact of this product is going to be very big and global, because at the time I was among the fortunate whose parents realized that that's a good idea to teach me English. And that proved, of course, to be incredibly beneficial. And this is now going to make it accessible to people, more accessible to people whose parents are not on top of this kind of thinking. But I am curious if you have any, your thinking, or you have any ideas about expanding to like reading or listening aspects of it.
This is a great question. This might be also interesting why I am focusing on writing at this moment, or in general, helping making it accessible to anyone. In my life, this was my sentence in my last LinkedIn post. I did not grow up in a rich family. And money has always changed my directions. I also was one of the fortunate people who has started learning English language at very early age. But because of financial hardships, I wasn't able to continue. So price is one of them. And all the time, most of my relatives live in a small city out of the capital city of Iran, which is called Tafresh. There aren't a lot of good English institutions there. There aren't really expert level people who know the language. So you have limited accessibility. I know can be applied. It is evident in a lot of places. And if you have access to those, they are not cheap. So you need to spend like, it doesn't make sense for you to spend like 25% of your income into just one aspect of it. So the problem is there. We need to do something about this. Why writing? For so many reasons. Number one, I had this in my mind: writing, listening, speaking, reading. No, honestly, listening and reading is mechanical. To me, so many people would like to have that one, but even if you don't know the language really well, it's a mechanical task. These are mechanical. You can just learn the skills, the techniques, and then do the listening, do the readings. With practice makes perfect. You can do a good job on reading and listening. Speaking is challenging, but because we all believe that you take up the speaking if you interact with others, share your ideas with others, and have kind of some sort of physical connection with them. And the accessibility to this kind of environment is much more than writing. You all can see that in our country, we had a lot of English institutions within minutes where they would teach you English speaking. But the writing is different, because knowing how to speak doesn't necessarily mean that you know how to teach writing.
Exactly.
So that's what I observed. And then what I saw, that people learn speaking, but still have issues with writing. If you look at many of people who have the IELTS, I can guarantee that their writing score is different than the other three skills.
Yeah, I 100% agree. That was my experience preparing for these tests. It was the hardest thing was to find resources for writing. I did not know what to do to get a good writing score. I knew how I could improve my reading or listening. However, writing was not clear. There were all I could do is read examples of people scoring high. Not that helpful.
And this is one of our goals. The interesting thing about learning a language compared to technology is that technology changes really fast. Think about 3 years ago, 2 years ago, we didn't have ChatGPT or generative AI. Now everything has changed. Our thinking has changed. But with language, it was, think about 50 years ago and now. How many of do you think this has changed? Is it 70%, 80%? No, it should be less than 5%, because principles are the same, vocabulary is the same, listening, everything is the same. But the problem is, maybe we still did not a good job of how we teach the language. So for the speaking, it's good. I think there are so many ways we can make the experience interesting. But still, writing is a dry task that requires a lot of effort and attention. And I think people in the information systems are exactly in a strategic position to help deliver a nice experience for people to turn this nightmare into something interesting and exciting. We are thinking about leveraging AI, combining it with some sort of gamification with a really good pathways for students to just increase their engagement within the writing checks. We're thinking about also adding some sort of community element to it. Last night the good thing about doing something you love is that you use every moment to think about something interesting about this that you can do. I was thinking about, what if we have a writing hackathon where we post an announcement to everyone in the world and say, at this point, at this time, whoever registers will be writing an essay. Let's say IELTS has two writing tasks, an essay, task two, writing for one topic. And then we're going to have a database of multiple writing essays for one question. And then we can do so many data analytics stuff to it, like show them the top performers and then compare how they did compared to the top performers, give them some insights about their writing, and then even provide a community where those people can talk to each other, share their strategies. We don't have any of these things at this moment.
So Jalal, this is really cool idea, and I think again, you're going in a space where you can really have an impact on people. When I think of these things, I think it's still on me. Like, again, I'm far from being a native speaker. I'm far from being a good writer in English, although I have to do it like for a living, right? Research is a big component of our job. And the tools I've been seeing using are like Grammarly or stuff like that. Or as you said, you have to go to a copy editor's and then you have to wait, I don't know, a week, and then you're going to get a few comments, and then you're wondering, like, is that applying for another paper? Or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that you can have a AI 24/7 give you some feedback is extremely cool and can be used for at any level. You don't have to be an undergrad, or you don't have to be somebody that wants to be an undergrad abroad to do it, right? Or a master's student or a PhD, right? I can still use it. I will probably ask you if I can use your software for that. But the one dark side of this, though, is, and I think is one of the elements that you guys are working on, is the tailoring of the experience and the feedback, right? And that's the challenging part, because, you know, usually the way AI is pulling answers to you is from a lot of information. So, right, how is it going to customize a response based on what I wrote from somebody that comes from an Italian way of writing compared to somebody that comes from Iranian type of writing? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that is super challenging, and I'm curious if you guys are still working on it or how you approach it that from, you know, a technology standpoint, if you can talk about it.
No, that's a great question. It actually adds a very complex dimension when you consider cultural differences. But at this point, because we are trying to get the first working product out, what we are thinking about is to have people come into our platform, just tell us their existing, let's say, level of expertise on their writings. If they can say it, we will take that one. We'll also ask them to write a writing, and then we will grade it. And then based on what their target is, do you want to take the IELTS exam in 2 months, in a month, or 3 months? What's your deadline? Based on that, we are going to design a training program, like a 1 month training program, 2 month training program, 4 month training program. And then depending on their level of expertise, we will put them into one of these buckets. And then we design a course for them. This is the kind of way we are thinking. At this moment, we are going to personalize the experience so that what they see as the training material is close to what they need. It helps them to be prepared in a short amount of time for the exam. Of course, for a person who has a beginner, who is a beginner and requires to take the exam in 2 months, the course load is going to be much more than a person who is a beginner and has to prepare for the exam in the next 6 months. The only way we can think about right now, there are some ways we can motivate students to engage with the platform so that they meet the requirements, like those gamification.
Did you guys thought about nudging, like, I don't know, once per day, you guys say, hey, if this was your question, like, how would you answer it? It's kind of like you are nudging to them a question of an essay of the day, something like that, kind of an idea. Or that's, you guys don't want to, like, you want to respect their pace of learning.
We are right now, please correct me if I did not get your question, but at this time, this is a kind of a working product. We have just built one aspect of it, which is the evaluation phase.
Okay.
So students come in, submit their writings, or they can practice. We give them the question, or we can put them into the exam simulation mode. They do their writings. Where we are good at right now is that we can evaluate, give them a very good comprehensive feedback within minutes. But that's so far where we are at. The good thing was we have a working product. We gave it to the customers. We even made some money out of this working product in Iran. And we got some interesting feedback. And now we are in the feedback loop. So our next goal is to close this loop for the students so that not only they get evaluated, but also they are put into a training program. And then they continue this loop until they are confident that they are ready for the exam. We are thinking about adding some sort of engagement mechanisms into this loop where students continuously learn, assess themselves, and then practice, and again, get feedback, continuous feedback, on-time feedback, so that they can learn from it, and then they just practice. So they don't need to wait another 2 weeks or 1 week for the expert to just give them maybe one or two sentences about, oh, okay, if you just work on this part of it. That's where we are right now.
And this is such a cool project. A lot of idea comes to my mind, but maybe we keep it offline. But I can see how you guys can really help the people, because by giving them the feedback, you can also identify what are common mistakes that people are doing, right? So then in your program, you can say, hey, this is what we need to practice first. And that's so the tailoring, what you were saying, the setting them kind of like a program to get better. I think that the fact that you're getting the feedback, you can see what are the most common mistakes that can really help you in making more tailored compared to, I don't know, me going to a copy editor and getting a feedback on a specific paper, and then it's going to be a different thing. So I can use some tips, right? Some tips are generalizable, but others are not. So
right now, I can show you one of the example reports later, but right now, when a student submits their writing, we do a couple of things. Number one is we score the student's writing on the four key dimensions of the writing. And then we, within each component, we tell them what are their strengths, what are their key issues, and we also provide them with some tips to improve those issues. Another cool thing we do at the end of the report is that we actually rewrite their original writing and just say, hey, if you write your original writing this way, your writing score, IELTS writing score, would be at least half a point higher than this. And we talk to our customers. They love that feature. But we don't think this is the end of it. This is going to be a way where we can assess their writing, place them, and then identify their needs, and then put them into a training program. Within the training program for each module, we're going to just, again, engage them. Hey, you just learned about present perfect. How about writing your opinion about this thing using this grammar? And then they will write, and then within a second, they get their feedback, and then they continue working on it.
I have one last question, and then I promise I'll shut up, because otherwise it's a one-to-one. But can you, because I took my IELTS long time ago. I think I took the TOEFL, to be honest. What is their feedback instead, if you're taking the exam? Because I think that's explained even better the value of your company. How do they just give you a score and that's it? You have to figure it out why you didn't get all the points? I forgot. I honestly forgot.
When you take the IELTS exam, you get so at least it was in Iran, you get a message on your phone that tells, this is your score. Listening, 7.5, reading, 8, writing, 6, speaking, 5, done.
Okay, so there is no feedback.
This is what you get from the test providers, just some numbers. You're
muted.
I look like a fool. But that's by design. They don't share that intentionally because that's their data.
Yeah.
They would do something like you are doing with it eventually, or sell it to you if you, become a customer with them, because there is, I'm sure they're making their graders take feedback, write feedback, but they're not sharing. Like an application like yours is a potential customer for that data, because you have the scores and you have the feedback, and that's actually your grand truth, because you're trying to get exact improve exactly that great. So, but I really want, I think Biagio's question about different first languages was an excellent point, because I think when you talk about like feedback and common mistakes, I think eventually you might have to group them by their first language, because common mistakes of someone who's from Iran is different from common mistakes of who's from Italy. Even inside Iran, we have multiple languages. My common mistakes were different from my, I'm from Tabriz, I speak Turkish. My common mistakes were different from my friend who came from Isfahan, with his common mistakes. So I think that's an excellent point. And you have very interesting challenges ahead of you, and it's very exciting.
Yeah, I think that's also a really interesting topic Biagio brought up. So you can even create some sort of a system that tells the students, hey, those who are Italian and interacted with our system have made these specific mistakes in their writings. Here are the articles, here are the training materials we recommend to you. This is actually really nice, but I know this requires us to develop our own systems. These are all the hopes we like to get there. It takes time, but we are so excited to add these these are unique contributions to me that no one has ever done. I know they are challenging, they take time, but it's so exciting to see, oh, if I can say that to a person from Qatar, that those are people who are from Qatar and interacted with our systems, they have used these words frequently. This is nice, but think about other things that you might be able to use in your writing.
And just going to a main point, I do see, like, you know, you being a customer of IELTS data, but I also see, actually, there should be almost like a partnership, right? That should be the right direction, where you help them to provide better feedback and you get better by getting more scores. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can train better your model based on the scores, but they also get something out of it, because just receiving a score is like me just giving a grade to the student and don't explain why they got that grade. They're going to be super mad, right? I need to be able to tell them, hey, this is what you did wrong, this is how you improve it, and so on and so forth, right? Otherwise, there is no learning involved. And I know, you know, some of these tests are a money maker, and there is not much willingness to ask people to learn. But on the other side, in the future, maybe they are already working on that internally. I didn't take it a long time, but that could be like, that should be the direction, like helping people to really get better through the test, giving better feedback, so in the future they can, you know, learn from their mistakes.
Yeah, so honestly, yes, they have the power. They have a huge repository of IELTS exams, and they should be the one actually find this in this interesting area to train their own models. They have the writings, they have the feedback, and they can train their models. I don't know if they are working. So up to my, to the best of my knowledge, there is not a product from there out there. Maybe they are developing those, but that's, I don't think that's a threat. I don't view it as a threat. I view it as an opportunity for us. Okay, they are up to this point. How can we maybe work with them? How can we add more value to their products? But the point is, we cannot wait until to see, okay, because they have the data, they're going to do this. Maybe they have the data and they don't know how to do this, or it's not important to them. All it's important to them is, we want to be the first test takers in this exam, and that's all. We don't care. Maybe they don't care about giving feedback. That's what they've been doing for a long time, and maybe this is a best practice for them.
I agree. I don't think they have an interest in improving grades. They have an interest in high variance so that they can rank people better. I think that they're a testing company. If everyone aces their test, they are in trouble, right? But you know, you can of course. Yeah, you, but here's one idea. So where do they get that data? They get that data from their graders, and they get their data from their test takers. So you have access to the test takers. and you can hire graders as well. But what's missing is what exactly do they tell to their graders? Like if they say here, you should hear the grading guidelines, here's the rubric. If you can get that, you can hire people and you can give them the same guidelines and you are getting the same students. So there should be no statistical difference, real.
Well, actually
your data and theirs.
Exactly. Our current report is exactly built based on the IELTS rubric for grading the writing exam. It's not something we made up ourselves. It's like, hey, you know that your writing is going to be graded based on this.
Yeah.
And we are going to give you feedback on these components. So I agree with you. If that's what I've been thinking about, what we will do eventually, that we have the students, we can hire the graders. Let's train our own model.
Exactly.
Now the question is
really valuable if you have, like, especially if region specific or language specific model, like not ground up model, you have a core model and then you add, you know, with transfer learning, you add things to it, you train it further in different directions. I think that would be very cool and very, very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
The question I had is, what if in the future they use AI to grade and generate the question? So then that is the challenge. But I don't know. Well,
no, I don't think that's a good point. I think it's similar to AI is taking over all the jobs and people are going to lose their jobs. But we know that that's not the case. AI at the same time will create new opportunities as well. If that happens, I believe that new opportunities will happen. And this is basically what we are going to do. We are using AI to grade writings. So at the same time, I think these companies, if they want to stay in the market, they need to just use AI for even at least better efficiency. So they are hiring graders and they are expensive to grade these writings. And I, if they haven't thought about this, I think they're not doing a good job in their business. You hire graders, you pay a huge amount of money to grade these tests. Why don't you train your own model to grade these tests? That will save tons of money.
They can also evaluate if the graders are doing the task in a consistent, because like one of the other issue is like, is the grader consistent, right? And humans are not as consistent as computers, right? So they can use them even as a backup to say, hey, is that person a good grader? We pay a lot of money. Is it doing the job in a consistent way, right? So there are so many aspects into it to take in consideration, but definitely interesting.
That's actually the issue with the speaking part of these exams, because not the TOEFL, but the IELTS, because you need to talk to an examiner, and depending on how moody the person is, whether the person is happy or sad, your grade may be affected.
But here's a question. Are we okay with AI grading writing? But who's the audience of that, right? Like, what are we testing? What IELTS is testing is, will this person write something that others can comprehend, right? And then the reasoning behind it, a human should grade it because the final audience is human. But if a robot grades it and say, I can comprehend, is that a good measure? Is that, like, is there a problem with having AI grade this?
That's a good question. As a grader of multiple writings in the past, I'm not up to date to this business right now. I mean, I have not graded an IELTS writing myself for a long time. I started doing it for this business writing checks, but there are certain areas you are looking for when you are writing grades. For example, one of the components is task achievement. Has the person been able to answer the question through a 5 paragraphs or 4 paragraph essay? Is the ideas are coherent? Do we see a logic into that? Has the person used complex grammar? So that what's the level of complexity in terms of grammar? Have they been used correctly? What about the vocabulary range? So those are the things that I think we've made enough. At least we are at a good stage where we can use, we can see in the tools that are available, like Grammarly. They have trained models to just recommend, hey, you can use this word if you are writing an academic paper. We can see that ChatGPT also does a good job of that. We are at a good stage at this point, but still, I think there are so many places for improvement, so many spaces for improvement. And I think one of the reasons may be, so number one, I don't know if IELTS is using an AI system right now to grade writing. Nobody knows, because all you get at the end of the day is, here is your score on these four dimensions, writing 6.5. You don't know if it's still somebody is grading it or they are using an AI system. But it's interesting to see that, yes, do we need to have a human to just read it from the bottom of heart? Is it something that I can comprehend?
Biagio and Russ know I am in favor of keeping humans in the mix. And it's because my concern is it's all historical data, right? What AI has, nothing more than historical data. And if there is no new writing, nothing will change. And what if we have a genius English as a second language learner who shows up and writes in a way that is like no one else, but it's still comprehensible? They deserve the grade, but AI won't know that. You know what I mean? So if we want writing, if we want written text and literature to improve, any literature to improve, we still need humans who create original writing without the use of machines.
That's also applicable in research. I was reading an article, a comment from one of my colleagues on LinkedIn. He was raising a concern about losing creativity in writing. And he actually reposted someone's analysis of a significant hype, the rise in the use of certain words in academic papers. Like that you can see that, oh, ChatGPT is creating those words. Significant rise, like 500%, 600% within just a few months. It's a correlation, not causation, but at some point with subjective evaluation, you can see, if you see those words, yes, it's, come on, every time I ask ChatGPT, that's exactly the word that it recommends. So I agree with you that we lose some sort of creativity on that part. I think for preparation, it's great. I will finish it soon. For preparation, it's great. We provide high-level guidance. Okay, these are the things you can do. But for grading, maybe I agree with you. It's still in so many places. We all agree that there should be some sort of human element through the process.
Jalal, as we're talking about all this, I just keep on thinking about the complexity of everything and humanity as we're grappling with literally artificial intelligence. And I hope our listeners found this conversation to be insightful, and how very quickly when we start talking about it, it starts kind of spiraling into other areas that can be very beneficial, but then just like everything in life, it can go into a completely different way. So Jalal, I really appreciate your time here. I thank you for your conversation, and we wish you the best, because there's a lot of students that I know could really benefit from something like writing checks and the work you're doing with your startup. So thank you for being here.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I cannot believe that it's been about 1 hour I've been talking with you guys. It was a pleasure to be with you. It's the first time Writing Checks is out, and I am more than happy to share it with my network. Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in to another episode of The Gateway, brought to you by NIU's College of Business. Please make sure to subscribe to The Gateway. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever podcasts are found. And if you are so inclined, please feel free to give us those 5-star ratings, which help allow us to continue to bring wonderful guests to The Gateway. Thank you all for listening, and remember to love always the promise of tomorrow today.